I want you to put yourself for just a few minutes this morning in your regular, everyday morning. Your alarm clock goes off and you wake up, and what I do is go in the bathroom and kind of see how bad I look for the day and what I can do with that. And so while you're there, there's just a brilliant flash of light and you're just startled. And you look, and there in the bathroom is an angel. In the book of Luke chapter 11, or chapter 1 rather, verse 11, the scripture says, "There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." And so there you are, and we read about this many times in the scriptures, and you look there, and it's an angel, and you're just, for a moment, you're just panicked, because you've never seen anything like this, and it's very strange and unexpected, and you just, your heart just, and then the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I have a message for you. Today, Jesus will return. This evening, Jesus will return. Do not tell anyone." Well, you know, from time to time we get news early in the morning that totally changes our plan for the day, and I suppose this really would. And if you receive this news, well, what would you do? Would you go ahead and get ready and go on into work? Or would you call your boss and just say, "I ain't coming in"? You probably wouldn't say, "I ain't never coming in again." But what would you do? You think about that. What would you do? I ask a few people this question, and the number one answer that I received, and I think it's true, is I would pray. And I suppose it kind of illustrates the fact that we have no greater need in life than to have forgiveness. In the book of Psalms chapter 32 and verse 2, King David said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, to whose spirit there is no guile." The person whose sins are forgiven is a very blessed individual indeed, because we each, probably every one of us, would sit down and we would earnestly pray to God to forgive me. And our only desire throughout this day would be to constantly be in prayer to God to forgive me. And I suppose our thoughts would be consumed for that day with knowing, today I meet Jesus. Today I stand before Him. Today I will give an account. And any time that day that we caught ourselves momentarily distracted, we would refocus our mind and we would say, today's the day, and we would think about it and we would pray about it, and someone might say, you're very distracted. You're somewhere. What's going on?" "Well, I just got a lot on my mind. I can't tell you how much I got on my mind." You know, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You know, on a day when we knew that today the Lord's coming, there would be nothing else on our mind. The bills wouldn't matter. The condition of the house, our nation, the whole gamut of life would just be erased, and there would be one thing: am I in good standing with God? Period. And that would be our day. Well, what if we went through the same thing and the angel was there and he says Jesus will return in exactly 1 week? You have 1 week. Do not tell anyone. Well, I was talking to Paul about this, and he said, "Well, I'd probably do like all those people when Jesus healed them or did a miracle, and he says, don't tell anyone, though they'd, he said, I'd run and tell everybody. That might be. But you know, if you had 1 week, you'd probably do some of the same things. You would probably do a lot of praying and put a very serious amount of time in that and asking God to help you to live this next week in a way that would please Him. And you would certainly dedicate a very serious effort to living a very good week. I got 1 week and I want to live the best week of my life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 and 6, he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. For this week, we would earnestly, every time we thought something that just wasn't conducive to being a pure Christian, we would say, uh-uh. In a few days, I'm meeting Jesus. And we would chase those thoughts out of our heart. He says in verse 6, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is full. I suppose that during this week, we might call someone and say, I'm really sorry, I really have mistreated you. We might make sure that anybody we had offended or hurt, we might go to someone and say, I've forgiven you, I've really held a grudge, or something like that. We would probably certainly make every effort to be at the church and worship God. There would not be anything that could make us not do that. Someone could say, you know, your house is on fire, and you'd say, let it burn, we're going to worship God. We got 1 week. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Jacob, when he knew his days were at the very end, his thoughts were on worship. And I suppose when we were here, we would think on every word of every song. And we would express from our heart how much we love God and appreciate the fact that we're washed in the blood of Jesus. And when we partook of communion, we would be there. We would examine every inch of our heart and soul because we got just 1 week. And I suppose in conjunction with that, we would desperately encourage other people to do the same. Well, let's just say for a moment that the angel's there, and he says, Jesus will return in 1 month. You have 30 days. I suppose we would do some of those same things. We would pray. We would work very hard to maintain our purity. We would continue to worship. We probably would drive to gospel meetings wherever they might be. We would focus on those things. We might tell our boss, look, I want all my vacation and then the rest of it, well, I quit. And I'm going to take this time. And we would probably spread the gospel during that month. You know, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the apostle said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, my heart's desire for this nation is that they'll all be saved. And we would probably go to our friends and our neighbors and we would not be able to say, look, you got 1 month. But we would say, you really need to do this. You need to sit down and we need to talk. And we would say, I'm really concerned for your soul and I want you to be very careful and I need to talk to you about the scriptures and I don't think you're living right. And it's very important. And we just want to say, you only got 1 month. You don't understand. You got 1 month. And we would tell them what the gospel is all about. We would plead with them about Jesus. And we would not be a bad example to anyone. Because after, you know, a couple of weeks of knowing that the end is coming, we would kind of feel like we've got our life in order and we've just prayed and prayed and prayed and we're doing everything, we're studying every day, and now it's time we've got to talk to people. In the book of Acts chapter 28, and there verse 30, The Bible says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. You know, we wouldn't take no for an answer. We'd say, no, you are not going to go to a ball game. We got to sit down and talk. You're not going to the movies. You're not going on vacation. We are going to talk. We would say, you have to get right with God. We would beg and plead. We would say, you don't understand. Someone would say, boy, she's really got serious about this Christianity stuff. They're really different. All he does is talk about it and go to church and pray and... Well, what if the angel was there in your bathroom and he says, you've got 1 year. 1 year. And I suppose it's getting redundant at this point, but we would continue to pray. We would maintain our purity and our study and our worship. And we would be spreading the gospel. But we probably would not feel the urgency of a day or a week or a month. There would be a little something in our mind that says, well, I got a little bit of time. But I'm certain we would tell people, I love the Lord with all my heart and soul and mind. And we would keep talking to them and telling them, and we would begin to count the days. I got 300 days. And I got 250 days. And I got 150 days. And we would see that getting closer, and we would get more serious about it. We would just ramp up our efforts, and we would just focus and focus. And as those days grew closer to the end, we would desperately tell others, and we would do everything we could to live pure and to serve God, and just our focus. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 48, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. You know, the fact is, here we are, every one of us, and we don't know if it will be today or in 1 week or 1 month or 1 year. It very well could be. But because there's not a specific day, we think in our heart, well, the Lord's not coming today. Do you know anyone who has said to you, I'm not about to go back to work. The Lord may come. Well, somebody says, well, that'd be foolish. You have to work. I understand that. That'd be foolish to say, well, the Lord, He could come in 1 month, so what's the point in... But that doesn't change the fact. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11, he says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. There are many people in this world because Jesus is not coming next week, and because the time of judgment and damnation is so far away in their minds, they say, well, we'll do better later on. Later on we'll get serious. I remember Bill Cosby speaking about his parents. He said they're old and they're trying to get into heaven now. When they were young, they weren't trying to get into heaven because that was way off. The truth is, you have no idea when the day will come. It may be today. And if you knew that, how would you live? I mean, would the person who is truly serving, wouldn't the person who is truly serving God with all his heart, all his soul, and all his mind just say, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. I mean, if we're living the way He really wants us to live, couldn't we just say, "Angel, I'll just keep doing it. I'm ready." I mean, how much time do you have left? You know, the spooky thing about that is, God knows. Now, I don't believe when He says there's a day where it's appointed unto man wants to die, I don't believe there's a one day on a calendar that's the day I'm going to die no matter what. But I believe God knows when that day will be. And that's not the same as Jesus coming again, but for you and me, it's basically the same difference. It's the same end. You know, in Isaiah 38 verse 1, the Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Well, why wasn't his house in order? Is your house in order? Is your life in order? In James 4 verse 14, he says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" He said, "It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." Our life is so uncertain, and we learn this over and over. We have friends that just fall down dead and die. We have acquaintances that have car wrecks and illnesses, and it just totally alters their life. There are things that happen every day, and we look at that and then we say, "Wow, that was close." And then we go on living our life as if there's an unlimited amount of time, as if the time when Jesus returns is somewhere thousands of years later. And the truth is, we just do not know. In Matthew 24 and verse 13, he said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." The angel will never come to you and say, "You've got one day, one month, one week, one year." It's not going to happen. But we ought to live like that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and beginning in verse 1, he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." You know, I was thinking about this last night, and I kind of thought about this being a very curious statement. The Apostle Paul, he writes to the church in Thessalonica, and he says, you know, "Of the times and seasons, you don't need me to talk to you. You don't need to hear about that, because," he says, "yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And that's the way it's going to be. You're never going to know. He said, "I don't need to talk to you about that." He says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction upon them." He said, as soon as you think in your heart, you know, it's all good and we got plenty of time, and later in life, I will get serious about being a Christian, destruction. He says, "As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." He said, if you're living your life thinking you have a lot of time, you're going to be fooled. He said, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." You know it's coming. You know that day could be today. You believe it. He said, "Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." We're not in the darkness on this deal, folks. We know what's coming. A lot of people in the world don't. We know. We know that our life could just end at any moment. We know that Jesus could return. We are not in darkness on this deal. He said, because you know, don't sleep. "Let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." We need to take up the faith of Jesus, and we need to use that to sustain us. We need to take the helmet, the hope of salvation. And we need to live every day as if this is the day. And if you can sit here today and say, I wouldn't have to change anything, then you're living the way you ought to live. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, I really would make some things different, then that's what you have to do. If you are here today and you're thinking, later on, I'll live better and I'll get right, then you're sleeping. You're just sleeping through the Christian life. And that's a terrible thing. I don't know where you are today, but I do know this. If someone said Jesus is going to come back at 6 o'clock tonight, how many would walk the aisle at Invitation?